Okay, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast. I believe this is 16.1. This is the special midnight release of Justice League and Flashpoint 5 Party.
Woohoo!
There we go. Well, there has been alcohol involved.
wow.
It is currently 1:05 a.m., so we might not be our sharpest, but we had the midnight release. Everybody's had a chance to sit down, read the books, and we figured we might as well talk about it, get our first impressions out there, and see what everybody thinks of these two big books. I'm going to try to do a podcast tomorrow, although these will probably go up the same day because I'm not getting this up tonight.
That's what she said.
Tomorrow we'll try to do a little more general theme. But this one tonight, we're just going to talk about these two books. We're not going to give any real spoilers away, but I think we're just going to try to talk about general themes. Did we like it? Didn't we? And that kind of stuff. So we'll go around the room. This is Colin McMahon.
Jason Kulfmiller.
Who never says anything.
Matt Little.
Jeremy Dan.
Sean Sisson.
Ryan Sargent.
Adam Russell.
Yeah, that's all that could manage to be here at 1 a.m. Although we did have most of the crew was here tonight, but they just bailed early.
It feels weird with that neck.
Like, yeah,
Nick. Not having him, like, we wait for that little pause, and then he says his name.
I think Joe had to leave because he didn't have his notes.
he doesn't do good on short
yeah. No. So, I guess we might as well start with Flashpoint, and we'll just kind of go around. I'm going to go grab a copy off the shelf real quick, just so we have a little visual reference for us, because I know you're sitting with yours at home. But I think Ryan seemed a little excited, so we'll let Ryan start.
It's like I was telling Colin earlier, there's a certain gelatinous snack substance. I don't want to mention any copyrights because I don't know how that works on iTunes now. There's a certain gelatinous snack substance where the...
Say it.
Okay, Jell-O pudding commercials where they're like, he's got the pudding smile. I had a Flashpoint smile like 8 times through that book. It was awesome. Next.
Why?
Oh, why? I didn't know if you wanted to talk about why.
Well, you don't have to give specifics, like exact dialogue, but what made you happy?
Just, it seemed like they followed
like the final fate of Reverse Flash.
Yes.
That was something very satisfying.
It was satisfying, even though it wasn't the way I thought it was going to end up.
Right.
It was awesome. It was, he got what he deserved.
Yep.
Whether some people think he deserved it or not, after reading the book. Mm-hmm. And, really interesting.
It was well done.
Yes, it was well done. Yeah. Interesting carry through with Barry Allen, carrying through some of the threads from the latest Flash volume that Johns obviously wanted to mess with, but didn't get to as long as he wanted to because of the reboot.
Relaunch.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a relaunch. It's a soft reboot.
Well, it's not rebooting anything. Just relaunch.
They're just moving everything back 5 years and changing the history. So.
I'm moving everything back 5 years.
One thing I was a little disappointed about, and actually when I talked to my DC rep today, I brought it up. A lot of stuff wasn't touched. A lot of the minis finished up in themselves, and they didn't really need to go any further. Specifically, Abin Sur, I thought, really was going to lead into this, and I know Matt was very upset.
Absolutely.
That the White Lantern was going to come in and do everything, and I have to admit, when I read it, this isn't really giving anything away, but he doesn't appear in the book at all. And I found it just a surprise. I figured he would at least play some part the way the mini ended. And that was really the only mini that I felt ended, not on a cliffhanger that wasn't resolved. I can't really remember how Lois Lane ended other than leading into this, and it kind of wrapped up in this.
Yeah.
Aquaman and Wonder Woman wrapped up in this.
Definitely.
Outsider pretty much wrapped up on its own,
as
I recall. He was in one panel. He was with the Resistance. No, but in the end, it was just basically him saying he would join up with the guys, and he did. He was there, and that you didn't really need any more. I also asked if we were going to see more of some of these characters, only I can't see them just letting Britannia go. I thought they put a lot of effort into creating that character, and I don't see that one not appearing later somewhere. Same with Canterbury Cricket. Not a huge character, but they felt enough to give him a one-shot. You'd think he'll reappear somewhere else.
I want more Gorilla Grodd.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed at how little he was in there. Just the way that one-shot set up, you thought he was going to play
a
part.
He had like one panel.
Yeah, it was literally it was one panel. That was like a Grant Morrison-esque, his whole story told in one panel.
Right.
I mean, I got not super disappointed he wasn't in it, but just it was someone I thought would pop back up. I know Matt was also very excited about the Cosmic Treadmill. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's a spoiler, man.
It's not a spoiler. It appears, but is not a critical point.
Well, one main thing about the everybody kind of came together at the end, but it really wasn't totally about the battle. You know, it had more to it than that. So it's a little more than what I think people were going to expect.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I was kind of disappointed in, not the book itself, was that I'd say 12 out of the 16 miniseries are irrelevant or just set up for the new 52.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, or a lot of them was, yeah, there wasn't a whole big
book. I mean, there's like, other than Lois, Lane, and the Resistance, Aquaman, Wonder Woman.
Right, they were just.
And the rest of them, I can't even think of a fourth one, to be honest, that really tied into this a lot.
Superman was good.
Superman definitely was good,
but you could have lived without that story.
The way he appeared in here, I think, really played a part. Yeah.
I was saying earlier that I read what I thought were the core Flashpoint books tonight before I came and got number 5. And that
You're so studious, Ryan.
Oh, thank you. I expect my turn.
Well, Joe
tomorrow.
Wasn't here, so I had to
right,
step
exactly.
up.
Right, exactly. I have my Rolodex of notes. But the ones that I thought were really important were Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Lois Lane, and Superman.
Yeah.
I thought those were really the core books. I mean, I really liked Batman, but it doesn't really fit in between the pages like Azzarello said it would. But the plots they bring up in the Superman miniseries pay off in Flashpoint 5.
I think
Aquaman and Wonder Woman pay off. Lois Lane pays off.
I think Batman built the character and kind of justifies his actions in the book.
Yeah, because otherwise they wouldn't have really... They weren't...
They
Batman-y.
Were in character.
Yeah. He's not a guy who's... Not to... Well, this is going to give away a little, but I think if you read the mini, you would get this. That's going to sacrifice himself.
Right.
Put him... You know, he'd put himself in harm's way to protect someone, but he's not... He would find a way around that. Where in this one, he... What had to be done, he did.
Yep.
Yeah, and the minis that aren't the essential ones, by and large, across the board, did a really good job of just giving you a quick flavor of this world without... Like, there were quite a few of them where, you know, I was kind of left, like the end of Outsider.
Yeah.
I really dug that dude, and I kind of wanted
and
to know more.
And that was
more.
Another character. Are we going to see more of him?
Yeah.
Because they really created something neat, just not for a throwaway.
Yeah.
Now, whereas Hal Jordan, that was complete. I fully didn't expect to see him in this. And then something like Frankenstein, I think, was really just setting up the next series. But still was really good. It was a fun little 3-issue introduction to all the characters. Now we can really get into that.
Does anybody understand what Secret 7 was?
No, but maybe that'll play out in Dark, because he does appear. He's in that two-page spread that they talk about.
Which who?
Shade.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, just to those, just a little explanation. They've talked about this a lot, this two-page spread that is the answer to everything and explains the new DC thing. Now, just to help you out, it's not the best, but you have to read the whole page left to right. It's kind of natural to read the top left to right, middle left to right, bottom, especially because all the dialogue's along the top. But if you read the whole page and look at the picture top to bottom, left to right, it makes sense.
It felt very forced.
It did.
I agree. I actually didn't get it until you showed it to me.
Yeah,
and
so that's why I'm trying to help.
It took us a little while.
We sat and kind of went over it for a little bit.
Yeah, because I couldn't... Yeah, I just got lost on the page. There was, like, I didn't understand, like, what this was and what that was.
Right.
Like, they looked
like
the same thing
I agree. But then when I looked at her costume, when I looked at Wonder Woman's costume, that's current, that's new.
Well, that's still
okay.
That's
no,
still
but that's
Straczynski.
Current. No, that, right, but that's current.
Yeah, that is current.
Okay.
I'd like to pretend Odyssey didn't happen.
I know, but I'm just saying that's current. This is new, so
right,
you have to look at it.
I think the thing that I like too, and without spoiling this double page that they've talked up so much, is that it answers those. It answers whatever question you might have had about the series and the relaunch, but it also sets up new stories.
I don't think it answers
absolutely.
Anything. I think it tells you something.
It leaves you it leaves you with a lot of questions.
It's not like
but
an
I think
they're going to
be answered in the upcoming year.
Yeah, it just kind of tells you what the new status quo is more so than anything.
Right. I guess the way I looked at it was, I don't know, the whole book seemed to, every issue of Flashpoint after rereading them seemed to be like a very metatextual sort of pat on the back, things may change, but things are going to be okay too. And I thought that double page spread was kind of indicative of
that. Did anybody count? Was it a normal 20, 25 page?
No, it was supposed to be an extra.
It was supposed to be oversized.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was going to be $4.99, but it wasn't. It was just $3.99.
So I was curious if they forced this into the two pages because they didn't have enough page count to do it.
No, I think they had planned this as a two-pager for a while.
Jeff Johns does that, too. In my opinion, he extrapolates certain unnecessary things and then forces core story points. Like,
yeah.
How's that supposed to read digitally?
That's Yeah, that sucks. You're going to have to buy a print copy because digital sucks.
Oh! Well, actually, if you think about it, that the confusion we have doing that is probably digital because you're going to get that page first.
And then that page.
It'll show you the whole two-page spread, and then as you go by panel to panel, it'll take you the way through it that they want you to go through it.
But what platform are you going to read it on? Because I've found that reading comics through Comixology on my Android is just frustrating, whether I use
I think you need at least a tablet, and if not a tablet, a laptop.
Yeah, I think so.
It's really sweet on two monitors.
Oh, I can imagine. Is that like one page per monitor, or just stress between both?
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome.
I have to say, too, overall thoughts for the book. I don't want to spoil anything, but that last panel is going to stay with me. Not that, sorry. The next to last panel. Next to last page.
Yeah.
Yeah, the next to last page.
Yeah, that. There's a panel on the next to last.
Because you really haven't seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's powerful.
But it's good.
He's been getting soft for a while. Morrison's got his...
I know, but...
Look what he's put the guy through. Zur-En-Arr.
I'll be honest, not reading the rest of Flashpoint and just reading that issue, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good ending, but I don't know, he just seems... Batman seems to be soft in the past.
It's sad, but it's so satisfying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it was.
It's so satisfying.
You're the guy that hates Daredevil getting kicked in the nuts at the end of every storyline.
No, I love that about Daredevil.
Me too. I personally like that.
Not spoiling Flashpoint 5, but seeing they built up.
You didn't finish reading it? You stopped early?
I stopped right there.
Sorry, Ryan. Sorry.
No, it's fine. Seeing how they built up Thomas Wayne in Flashpoint 1 and even through his miniseries, reading Flashpoint 5 is a really nice full circle on that story.
Yeah.
The way it's handled and the way Barry Allen sort of finds a way to make that right is cool. Because like you said, it's something we haven't really seen before.
Yeah.
But yeah, that page you just pointed out there, the inevitable return of the big red S was...
Yeah, that was awesome.
Pretty
sweet. I enjoyed
pretty
that
sweet.
Very much. Especially not to give it away. I mean, okay, Superman returns even though he flew away in issue three.
Yeah, I love the whistle.
Where did he go?
You love the what?
You had to read the mini. He went
Project
in.
Superman mini. Yeah. Don't give it away.
He did stuff.
He did? Where he went to see Lois and he had to fight the other Superman guy? Come on, man.
Oh, yeah, never mind.
What I was saying about the whistle is,
it's late.
Yeah,
it's late.
Coming, but I just love how Flash looks up, knew it. There's Superman who, returns to save the day, because that's what Superman does.
What was it? Flashpoint, when they found Superman.
Three.
Mm-hmm. That ending, I kept on thinking, was that.
In issue three, when you find out where he went, that Project Superman was probably the most satisfying for me.
So wait, he was married to Lois in Flashpoint?
No.
Did you read it?
Yeah, but that was...
What? He just went to find her after he broke out, because he had known her as a young child.
Right.
He went to find her.
Thank you.
And that's when they asked.
And then he fought Subject Zero, and then bad things happened.
I thought Subject Zero was actually kind of a cool villain.
I didn't understand how he beat him, but that's just me.
I have to say, also,
the glowing hand. I'm sorry, you're
Iron
right.
Fist?
The glowing hand. Yes, Iron Fist.
Probably get flamed to high heaven for this, but after reading this, I think that Jeff Johns is my Grant Morrison.
No, that's cool. Because I like, when I started reading before I got into Grant Morrison, I really liked Jeff Johns. And Jeff Johns was...
I could be your friend.
I love just big, splashy superhero action. That's why I love comics.
Yes.
I don't think anyone does it better than him.
He knows how to write an event book.
You know what I have to say? My favorite thing about the end of Flashpoint is that it ends.
Yeah.
There's a now. Granted, I don't.
It has to end.
But yeah. I don't think it's because of lunch. But the story ended as opposed.
How can you say the end of Blackest Night was good? What a horrible ending!
That was cool.
Yeah, but my problem with that is it led into the next.
Well,
it just,
okay. Yeah,
not really.
Oh, come on. That 2-page spread in the middle is totally launched.
Right,
but
I'm just saying the end of it, him talking to Batman, story
the
over.
The Flashpoint story ends.
I mean, the DCU DC continues, of course.
See, the last page is there with Batman to me, and I know it's because I'm not the Morrison fan. But is more in character for Bruce and Batman than anything Morrison has wrote about him recently.
Okay.
I think it's in character. I mean, I agree with you with that. I don't know if I agree with you that it's more in character than what Morrison wrote, but we know my prejudices.
Yes.
But
that's just a difference of opinion between the
but
two
no,
of
no.
us.
But I agree with you. I think it was really well written. I think it was really well done. And the Blackest Night thing, I agree. I didn't like that it led into Brightest Day, but overall, I think Johns does know how to write these big, like you were saying, these big, fun, explosive epics. Yeah, like, I mean...
Did he do Infinite Crisis?
He did.
Okay, no, I haven't read that since it came out.
Yeah, I haven't read it in a long time, but seeing with this, like, every issue of Flashpoint had something big.
Who read Identity Crisis?
Brad Meltzer.
I like that one the best of all the Crisis.
Yeah, and that ended. That ended. But, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking Marvel stuff. When was the last one that ended? I guess Siege ended.
House of M.
Yeah. Civil War didn't end. It ended in Captain America, the next issue.
Yeah, I read it all together.
House of M, that's fair. I've never read it. Oh!
Technically, House of M didn't really end.
Why are we talking about Marvel? This is just
I'm sorry.
Kind of just...
But I just...
Because it wouldn't be a podcast without bashing Marvel.
And I mean, we're about to lead into
it. I didn't bash Marvel. I just said I never read
it. But between reading those two
for the Marvel relaunch.
What, I don't have my love for Jeff Johns.
Well, there's
going to
be a Marvel relaunch now, right?
No.
He's
talking about
writer.
Big changes
I
in 2012.
Because we're talking about...
What year don't
But I think I just posted. I said how many... On the Facebook thing, I'm like, look how many books have relaunched in the last 3 months or the next upcoming 3 months. Almost their entire line.
This is the follow-up to my post of saying, now, if this was Marvel doing the relaunch right now, everybody would be like, why are they doing a relaunch?
Because they keep coming at. They do it continually.
Right.
This isn't really a relaunch. It's just them changing the number.
Yeah,
true.
They're not
say,
really
Marvel
going back.
Does,
they're not changing anything.
That's what all of them are.
Marvel does their renumbering just to get sales
willy-nilly,
and whatever. They don't change their history.
And the only thing
I mean,
they
do. I mean, there's continuity issues, but not anything like this.
The only thing
they don't hit the big red reset button.
Yeah,
every 5 years,
I mean,
DC reboots.
No, it's not every 5 years.
Well, and the biggest thing they do is they change the lineups on the teams. Like Avengers, they're going to be, after Fear Itself, they're going to change New Avengers. I think it's New Avengers, and they're adding Daredevil
New Avengers
and all these
point
people.
One, but, oh, wait.
No. Well, they're changing both. They're changing Avengers and New Avengers. Yeah. The Avengers team changes, too.
It's just Secret that's
Avengers
how they changes. Kind of read
well,
hey,
Justice
it. They
League
change
changed.
It.
Yeah.
And,
well, yeah, no, they both
changed. You had Starman and Gorilla Bob.
X-Men are changing.
And,
but that was
Congo Rilla.
Yes. But that was always a big thing for Avengers, is when they redid their lineups. And
In defense of reboots, I know everyone thinks DC always reboots every 5 years, but the last major reboot was in 86. I mean, they had Zero Hour, they had Final
And this
Light.
Is what was supposed to happen, but
yeah,
the
and,
editors
and, right.
chickened out.
Even Infinite Crisis and Final Crisis really only changed small things.
I thought Infinite Crisis was...
But it didn't reboot the universe. I mean, it added a little bit to Superman's origin. They added that he was Superboy, and you know, they added that Batman found Joe Chill, and little
Not
things
Infinite
like that.
Not Infinite Crisis, but 52, you could say, was a pretty big... Not that they did anything with it.
Right.
But the return of the multiverse was a very large...
That's a large deal, but I mean, by and large, the status quo was pretty much the same, whereas this is not everything out the window,
we
but
don't
it's
know.
Like a different perspective.
We
right?
don't
we
even
don't
know.
Know
what we don't know.
Okay, well, based on what we know, based on what we think we know...
Metatextual for you.
I want some of what you have.
Are we in a...
Sean!
Where are they?
Yeah.
So Justice League?
Okay,
are we done with Flashpoint?
No, yeah, I think we're good on Flashpoint.
For Flashpoint, one thing I liked about it, it didn't have to end with a huge battle, which I don't think that's really ruining anything, but there was something going on. But it didn't. That wasn't really the main point. I think I really like that about it.
See, that's one of the things I think I don't like about Johns is he skips over the battles and just kind of focuses on character development.
But there was a lot of fight. I mean, issue four.
There was that, but it didn't have to be.
One of the things I like about him.
Yeah. But like, it didn't have to be about the battle.
Yeah,
like it wasn't about the final thing. It was about
the battle was
how
in
he
the
was
going to
fix things and what was going to happen. And,
right.
You know, and it didn't have to have that, which was cool.
And then when Norman Osborn shot,
but the thing, another thing he did with Flashpoint, just along the epic thing and the characterization, is every character in Flashpoint had their own voice.
Yeah,
and that's a, I think, a very difficult thing to do with these 20 character epics is not have everyone kind of sound the same.
Yeah, because after a while it starts to get
and
long.
That's not a Marvel or a DC thing. That's just an event thing. A lot of people have difficulty doing
it. Well, Johns is great at that. His Avengers stuff that he wrote
but that's
was
what I mean,
very that, good about that. Even he's been writing Green Lantern for how long?
But that's
he's
what
still
I mean. That's,
very good at that.
That's why I like his epic so much, because everyone has a voice and you can... It's a group of characters.
I will say that is... I disagree in some regard. That's not a Marvel DC thing, because I think it is, and this is one of my actual complaints about Marvel, is in a lot of the Marvel books, team books at least, none of the characters have their own voice. They all sound exactly the same.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there. I was trying to be PC.
No.
I was trying to be politically correct.
In the DC books, the events in DC are handled much better than Marvel.
Because they give you a very clear idea of who the Flash is, who Thomas Wayne Batman is.
Yeah.
In such a small amount of time, they flesh that character out more than...
I think...
And the actions and reactions that the characters have in the DC events follow the character, where a lot of the Marvel events, they'll throw a character into a situation and he'll react completely different than his history would supposed to be.
Mostly to fit the writer or the editorial's idea of the character, not necessarily the character.
I hate on Marvel, too.
That's just one thing. No, that's one thing I think in this. Flashpoint feels much more like it was a Geoff Johns story.
Yeah.
And it was a story he wanted to write, where something like Fear Itself feels like it was an editorial.
Yeah.
Hey, we need a big event. We have a Captain America and a Thor movie. We need to have these two characters. Let's do something big with them. And, like, I was just reading about... I just saw the preview thing for The Fearless, where it's Sin against Valkyrie. Who cares?
I will say this is one thing I've got to say. And this is why I think with Blackest Night, Matt and I both have an issue a little bit with Blackest Night not being as good as we thought it should be is...
Too much.
That seemed very forced and very editorial forced down John's throat.
Didn't he
draw
that
out Blackest Well, I think Blackest Night was certainly his idea and something he was leading to. Mm-hmm. But I think Blackest Night Superman, Blackest Night Wonder Woman, all those spin-off things
it was forced to be
didn't
a
work.
I think what happened is it was his story, and when they saw how astronomically popular the Sinestro Corps was,
they did
very little with that.
Now, it's kind of funny, because with Flashpoint, we had 16 miniseries, and you could easily say the same thing, but it didn't feel that way. It really worked.
I think the reason why that worked is because it was a brand new universe to explore, and it was new. Whereas, Blackest Night JSA, how does that, Blackest Night Superman, how the heck did that fit in? I mean, New Krypton was a mess by itself, but how the heck did Blackest Night Superman fit into the New Krypton chronology? It's like there's no time, and then even some of the excuses for how it worked
I think what Flashpoint shows, and that I would hope the industry takes note of, if you actually sit down and take the time to carefully plan and coordinate these things... You have comic book gold.
Yeah.
Like, this really felt to me like it was very carefully designed and orchestrated. Yeah. Like you were saying, it was John's story.
I think the timing was very good and the release schedule. Like, they stuck to a very good release schedule. Four minis a week, every week.
Well, the other thing, too, between Blackest Night and Flashpoint is... And granted, I didn't read any of these minis, but listening to you guys talk about them and stuff, each mini sort of... had its own voice and its own purpose.
Absolutely.
Where all the Blackest Night minis were exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Lantern shows up, tries to get you to experience fear or one of the emotions, and then tries to kill you.
I feel in like 10 or 20 years, we will probably still talk about Flashpoint and how many of the events in the last 5 years can you
but
say
that
about.
But here's the question.
About?
Will we talk about Flashpoint kicking off the greatest success in DC's history or the biggest failure? Because it's one of the two.
That's up in the air still.
But
this
Flashpoint,
cannot be an iffy thing. It's going to be...
Well, I don't think it...
It's either going to hurt them or it's going to make them top dog.
Or it might just keep them the same.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It could just...
But if it keeps them the same, that's a failure.
Same it's neutral is a failure. Right, yeah. Dedio will lose his job.
Right, right.
If they don't get more than, I would say, 10% market share growth out of this reboot...
They will.
Dedio. Yeah. I don't think
they'll...
I have
to say, as a
segue...
I
don't think they'll sustain it.
Oh,
reading Justice League makes me fit just off the strength of that it's working so far.
Yeah. I think it's going to get more people at least trying the books and finding the stuff.
Hey,
that
the unicorn
like.
Was here today. The guy I said doesn't exist was here. The guy that's a new comic book reader,
okay,
because of the Justice League,
yeah,
was here.
The unicorn.
he's my unicorn because I said this guy doesn't exist.
No, even I have 10 or 15 people that I have never seen before came in and asked for all 52.
Now,
it might,
DC's,
just,
yeah,
how much it might just be the people want it for the thing. But, like, I was telling, I think when I emailed Rich Johnson, because, yes, I emailed him my order number so that he could do it. Yay, I'm famous. But,
or infamous.
even if those people that come in and go, you know what, I kind of like this Justice League. I'm going to keep trying it for a year. That's a win. That's a new reader. That's somebody in. And I'm going to say, if they get all 52 and actually sit down and read them, they have to find a couple that they go, you know what, I want to see what happens next.
Yeah.
And I stopped buying single issues of comics with Onslaught. And I'm getting, what, 5 or 6 of the new ones?
Cool.
Well, I just,
and then we'll talk enough up that he'll say, you know what, you guys really like this Animal
and
Man,
I,
or
but
whatever.
And
it
I
is.
Didn't like DC when I was like buying single issues.
But then you have the opposite. I know Scott at work and talking to him. Mm-hmm. I know he signed up for 5 or 6 of the books.
Okay.
And in talking to him, I don't think he's going to stick with them for more than a month or two.
Okay, but he might. Who knows?
But I have to say, I'm curious about this, so I'm engaging in my own market research. I'm having my fiance, who is not a superhero fan, not a comic fan, but has read comics. I'm going to just give them to her and say, look at all of these, see what you like, and read them and tell me. Because I am actually kind of curious.
And then buy your own copies.
Because I'm heavily biased. I want this to work. I am in it. You know, I would buy all 52 every month if I could, just because I think it's so cool. But I genuinely want to know somebody who hasn't.
Mm-hmm. But here's my thought also. We feel that they did the Flashpoint minis very well. Mm-hmm. I don't see there being any editorial control on these new books. I think they're giving them to the writers and saying, write your story.
It's just strictly the deadline.
It could absolutely, but I don't see there being a big event. I don't see there being a big crossover.
Well, the Dio said no crossovers for at least a year.
There you go.
I'm fine.
That, I think that's great.
No, I think that's great.
But I think the books are going to sink or swim on their own, I'm going to say, without the editorial. Yeah. Oh, you need to get Congo Bill, like you said, or Congorilla in this thing. You can't use Superman.
Gorilla Bob.
It's not going to be a Dwayne McDuffie situation. Oh, here you go. Here's Justice League. Oh, yeah, you can't have Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern. It's, Justice League, you have... Anybody you want, go with it. You know, and all the other books.
But it's cool, too. They're keeping that editorial hand by saying, you can do whatever you want, but it has to be on our desk.
At this time,
yeah. And if it's not, you're off. Yeah. Like, that's just it. Yeah.
So how long do your top A-list artists last, right?
I don't care.
David Finch is already, like, co-writing and co-drawing a book because he's late.
Yeah,
Jim Lee's not going to keep up on
a bunch of the
cruises.
No, but I think he's been
already
working on this a long time.
You know what?
But he's going to do 6 to 12.
That's fine. And then gone. That's okay.
Just because that artist is late one time isn't going to prevent me from buying the book, because DC has shown me with the Flashpoint stuff and with other fill-ins that they've done is that there are really good artists out there that aren't really big that I like. Like the guy that did the second issue of Lois Lane and the Resistance. That was a weird art style, but I really dug that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Cool.
Or Gene Ha, who did Project Superman and hasn't done anything in a long time.
That was cool.
I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, I've got no problem with lesser name artists. I'm just worried about quality of artists.
Well, I don't think they'll have a problem. I mean, if you look at some of the artists they've hired in the past 5 years since Infinite Crisis, I mean, they started out with, I'm thinking of like Ivan Reyes. And I remember reading, I don't know if it was on Comic Book Resources or somewhere, but Ivan Reyes and Joe Prado and I think Tony Daniel fell into this category. A lot of those guys are from the same area, and they kind of work in like an artist co-op. So it's like, you know, DC finds one guy, and then he says to his friend, hey, do you want to do a DC side project? So I like that they have that network.
It's a real shame that Tony Daniel's part of that.
Well, I don't know if he's or not. Don't quote me on that. But I like Tony Daniel's art. I do. I think it's really cool. But they have that network, you know, where they can say, hey, you know, how are you doing on your newest issue with Philip Tan? How are you doing on Savage Hawkman? If he says, oh, I'm going to be a little late. Okay, do you know a guy who could fill in? Sure, why not?
I'm okay with as long as they'll rotate it per issue.
Yeah.
If they start splitting books where you're reading, it's like Philip Tan and then it's Ivan Reese and you're like, whoa.
Right. I could see that, yeah.
I hate when that happens. Yeah. And it happens a lot.
Sometimes Marvel does it most of the time.
Marvel does it a lot, yeah.
Especially on the lower, like, B-list or C-list titles. Now, I think, as much as I picked on Flashpoint, I liked the book. I thought it was good. I will say that they failed epically on marketing this.
Marketing what?
The new relaunch.
What?
Well, they just hit USA Today. They just hit ABC News.
I didn't see it on TV.
Well, it was on ABC. You weren't watching TV today.
I didn't see it in, like, Maxim magazine or anything.
No, they're not
going
to make Maxim, but
why wouldn't you?
It's because you're the last person reading Maxim.
Yeah.
No,
but no,
that was
but
your perfect audience. I mean, GameStop
has a page in there that
talks about video games.
Yeah, talks about video games. GameSpot.
But again, there might be because maybe they didn't want to put everything on Justice League. Why not wait till the next week?
I think
you've got
to have the hype before
Justice League.
Well, you got to be careful because you don't want the hype and then have them come in and it's not there.
Yeah. I mean, or maybe they'll come in next week, you know, if Justice League's done this well, maybe everyone will come in next week and be like, oh, I heard there's new books. Yeah, Justice League number one came out last week, and then not that being late to the party will make you feel like you need to buy more, but that'll get someone interested in saying, oh, I want to pick up another issue of Flashpoint, or, you know, an issue of Justice League, and they'll say, or Colin might say, oh, it's sold out. Will you come back in a week or two when I have it?
But it's
I agree, that totally makes... exclusivity makes you want it more.
A Marvel sellout. Let's not kid ourselves, right? It's
well, you know, it might not be sold out. It was marked as sold out, but it was showing sold out from the distributor, but it may have also just been because there was such a huge number of books sent out, they put a hold on it until damage reports come in so that people's damages get replaced before reorders. And that's how it's supposed to work. It never does. But
how many pre-orders did you have?
Me at the end, 71.
And how many books did you order?
125.
So you have 54 sitting on the shelf. So it's not a sellout by any.
Well, it's not. Well, in one night. Well, I you know,
but it's a Marvel
it's like
sellout.
1:30 in the morning.
But I'd be
you
curious
don't have to go look
up
your sales.
I want to see how many I sell tonight.
Isn't the sellout calculated by how many you order, Colin? Not how many.
Yeah. Yes, it's how many diamond ships, not how many the store sells.
Right.
That's right.
It's not a sellout.
sellout is basically based on the distributor.
Right. Okay.
Now, yeah, Marvel does this. Hang on a second.
Well, Marvel always declares the early success, whereas DC seems to be a little bit better about that.
Yeah.
So I'll say something about Justice League while Colin's looking up numbers. I
have 43 left on the shelf.
Cool.
Left on the shelf.
Yeah.
So you had 11 people who didn't pre-order it, pick it up tonight.
Still sold more than half.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I sold 22. No, and 125 scared the bejeebers out of me. I upped from 100 to 125 at the last minute, and I'm glad I did.
And I wouldn't expect a lot of your new, like, the people that you brought in, brand new
tonight,
for this. I wouldn't expect them to be here tonight anyway.
Hey, we had tailgating with beer at a comic store. How cool are we?
How weird is it? It's 20-2 and we're sitting in a comic book.
So, Justice League.
Click the open sign. I don't want the cops coming.
I thought Justice League was really good, but I didn't think there was enough oomph there to make me want to read the next issue. I mean, I'm going to.
No,
I'm absolutely
going to. I hear
what
you're saying. Yeah,
but it was light on story. I mean,
it was. There was a little too many double page spreads.
Well, 98% of the story arc was revealed in the 6-page preview.
Yeah, and you know what? And there may have been stuff in the beginning because I just naturally went, oh, read it, and just started flipping pages until I saw something that I hadn't seen.
And I thought Hal Jordan was way more powerful than he's ever been.
No, I don't think he's more powerful.
Look at all the constructs he's got in that picture.
He has that picture over the ring that he's showed in the past.
But he's never done that.
I disagree, and I'm going to cite a source.
Ooh, all right, yeah. Joe Fellow.
It was back in...
In DC versus Marvel.
Yeah. No, when Jeff
USC
Jones,
2.0.
When Jeff Johns started his Green Lantern run, and I believe it was in Wanted Hal Jordan, in that story arc, Hal Jordan was fighting... I think he was fighting a bunch of Rocket Reds, and he was like... wearing this awesome F-16 style suit of Green Lantern armor with like three Green Lantern F-16s too. Behind him, like firing at all of them at once. I thought that was pretty on the
right,
level.
But that's supposed to be him with experience. This is supposed to be him as a newbie.
Yeah.
Well not necessarily exactly. A newbie. Just he may be coming fresh from training, and he knows
seems
how to do
really
this.
Powerful to me.
Well, he, but he
to
also
he
thinks
been.
He's very powerful. He's very young. He's brash. He's cocky.
It works on willpower, so maybe
but that's,
he does have
that's
a lot
Hal
of
Jordan.
Power,
I mean, that's
how,
very
right. Right. But I'm just saying. So it's very in character, but also with him being a little bit younger, and I like how he got his butt handed to him at the end.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I liked most of Jim Lee's art. Some of it was a little
Yeah.
Here.
For the most part,
that's for Chad.
The one thing I have to agree with you on, Matt, I was just showing at the Colin. There's a panel in here where he creates firemen.
Yeah.
And
fire
then they
engines.
Use.
He has fire engines all over the city.
Yeah, and then, he used it to fight the thing at the beginning. He likes fire engines. Yeah, he was actually using a hose. How his ring puts out.
Yeah.
Fire with some sort of ring water.
You know the way I actually looked
ring
at
water.
It, though.
There we go, ring water.
Wow, that sounds horrible, actually.
Is when I read it, it actually made sense to me because here's a guy that has the most powerful, what we've always been told, you know, a Green Lantern ring is one of the most powerful objects in the
but
whole
But isn't
universe.
That the most inefficient way to put out a fire, you know?
He could have sealed it. And it closed off all options.
Yeah, why didn't you just put a dome over it?
Or are you going to quote...
Yes, I'm going to quote Morrison. So, have fun.
There we go.
But I just mean, just the power level. He's like, oh, yeah, we're standing here having this conversation. Yeah. My ring is taking care of fires all over the city.
Yeah.
That's kind of a power level to Green Lantern we haven't seen. But it really, if you think about it, kind of fits, you know?
Yeah, but then he gets distracted.
Yeah,
I love that. That was great.
And
that was great.
And look what happens. Yeah.
What's this do? Yeah, that was awesome.
I was kind of sad to see that it's a fairly classic villain.
I'm fine with that.
But not a Batman villain.
Not a Justice League
yes,
villain.
He was.
Parademon? Or, I mean...
No.
I know. But not... No. I was happy to see that as far as they went big.
Yeah.
You know, who's their first villain going to be? They went big.
That was my first Justice League smile.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, I just...
I thought it was a great issue when I read it. I couldn't wait to read it again.
Because they kept... Well, you mangled it. I mean, you
sure... Yeah, look at this thing. Man.
But I thought they were talking a lot in the press about how they were going to have new villains.
Well, they will, but I'm happy that they didn't start this with some new... Because that's one thing...
That's the book I can't wait for.
Is the art going to look like that? Or is that
just
heck yeah, that's Cliff Chang, baby. Yeah,
I'm excited.
No, it'll be good.
We're talking about Wonder Woman, by the way, people on Internet Land.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is going to be wild. we should have a midnight release just for that. I'll be
home. No, we're not.
Jeremy said something a little bit ago that I thought was really great, if you could reiterate, about Flashpoint reading into Justice League number one together. Do you not remember?
I was going to say it's 1:45. So
okay, well,
earlier, who are you again?
Earlier, when everyone was in rapture in conversation, Jeremy said that he thought that reading Flashpoint number 5 and followed directly by Justice League number 1 was the best way to read both of these books, and I agree because I just feel like, you know, it's like Flashpoint gives you that tease of here's what's coming, and then Justice League... Not really. I mean, it teases you a little bit, but I mean, it also reminds you that, they are keeping stuff from before. Like they said, it's not going to be everything out the window. Green Lantern is suddenly, you know, suddenly his belt is powerful, and that's where he gets his powers. You know, it's nothing wacky like
that. Was
that
was his belt?
You know?
I'm not even going to tell you what I thought it was.
Oh, my God. No.
is a clean podcast.
You know, they show you in Flashpoint 5 that they are going to take a new perspective on things, and then in Justice League number 1, it's like saying... But we still remember why we're all here. We still remember the core of who Green Lantern is, who Batman is, who Superman is. And I agree. Reading them both back-to-back was awesome. Like, I was sitting in that chair, and I was so I felt like I was five again. I was so stoked to just sit there and read comic books and be like, yeah!
I think next week when you get 13 of them.
Oh, I'm so excited.
See, I didn't think there was any advantage to reading them back-to-back.
I didn't
because I didn't get to them in the boxes. They were staggered. Luckily, I found Flashpoint first.
I actually did find benefit to reading Flashpoint and JLA together.
Mm-hmm. Right, sign up for one.
But no, more from the standpoint of what's to come than anything else. From someone coming into this, you know, I'm not a huge DC guy, so I'm trying to give this all a chance. And reading them together, what it did do was it got me more excited for the other books that are coming. However, I will say that the JLA, it's in and of itself, I don't know if that first issue did enough to get me to come back for a second issue.
Okay.
I thought the art was very uneven in it.
Some
panels, Green Lantern looked like they wanted him to, where he was taken back and slightly younger. Other panels, he looked like he was the same guy that I just read in, you know, last week's issue.
It
was very uneven. There really wasn't much of a story to it. It just sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Yeah.
Let's
go find Superman,
because
this box... Yeah.
I like this box.
He's an alien. Well, no, but they find this box, and then they go...
It seemed like
the cyborg stuff.
To move it along.
Yeah. The cyborg stuff was interesting how they worked it in.
But my concern is, if you're a new reader, you don't know who he is.
That's badass Cliff Chang art right there.
Now, that being said, I think reading them both back-to-back did do its job, and I am really looking forward to next week's issues and seeing what I do like and don't like.
Yeah.
So what comes out next week, Colin?
I don't know.
It's a bad book. Sorry.
And I think the thing that really keeps you going for the next one is... Who's at the end?
I think I memorized the schedule.
I think that's what they had to.
There we go. Okay.
We got it? Okay.
Okay, here we go. Oh! Hey, Ryan.
Yeah?
Guess what comes out next week?
Really? Do tell.
Action Comics number one. Who wrote that?
I don't know who wrote it.
You tell me.
Is it Grant Morrison?
It would be,
Ooh!
Sir.
Ooh!
All will be well with the world.
And then we also have Animal Man, which I think is going to be good.
Yes.
Batgirl looks good.
Excellent.
My pick to click, Batwing.
I will read it. I'm excited.
Detective?
Yeah.
Green Arrow?
We'll see.
Hawk and Dove.
Sterling Gates. Just remember Sterling Gates.
Okay. Justice League International, which looks good to me.
I'm excited.
Hey, Booster's a Canadian.
That's
well,
the only
it's well known.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's a Canuck now. Him and Wolverine.
Metal.
Jed Winnick, right?
Yeah.
That's the only Booster good book right now, but
Dan
if you complain really loud enough, they might write another one.
Yeah.
Jurgens.
Men of War.
Is it
Jurgens? OMAC, that they're really talking up, like, the people in D.C., and I don't think they're talking up because it's Didio. I think
they're talking up Giffen.
Do
you think it's Giffen, or do you think it's Jack Kirby Love?
It could be
because
Jack Kirby Love. Yeah, it's very Kirby.
Jack Kirby OMAC.
Yeah.
Not what they've
not
done.
Not that dumb, yeah. Oh, I mean, not that spectacular...
happy birthday to Jack Kirby yesterday.
When the birthday came? 2 days ago.
Static Shock, another pick, Stormwatch, I'm excited about.
Yep.
And then I think it's going to be one of the top 10 books coming out of this, of Swamp Thing.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be huge with
Scott
Snyder.
Scott Snyder, man, how can it not
be? I know,
be top
that's
10
what I mean, but I think that's going to... not that it's going to be a surprise, but I think it's going to be one of the top 10 of the 52.
Here's my thing with Stormwatch. I'm really excited, because Paul Cornell's awesome, and Miguel Sepulveda is doing the art.
Where's Joe?
I know,
where's
right?
Joe?
I thought of that when I saw that earlier.
But the
solicit for Stormwatch 1 said, following the ominous events of Superman number 1, Superman number 1 is on September 28th.
Okay.
So just hold on to it.
Yeah, don't read it. But did you see the cover for number, was it 3, I think?
Yeah.
With the hand coming through the moon?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still excited for the book. Did you actually read
the solicit? It says...
Yeah.
The moon is invading the earth.
The moon,
not the moon people.
Not the moon
is invading the earth.
And then, did you see the video preview?
Awesome.
Yeah, I did. I saw that.
Yeah,
that
the
was
video preview
good.
Was
yeah.
basically like, "I've been here for millions of years, and you're next." I was like, "Yes!" Like that's what I want the moon to say.
But I
don't think I want the moon to say.
Wait,
that
I'm trying.
All.
Say that again.
Yeah, I just want to go on a little tangent on this, only because it's Stormwatch centric. I gave Bleeding Cool my order percentages because he asked for it, and I'm like, sure. And I was reading the comments in after the article. If you go on Bleeding Cool, it shows he broke it down just how, I think there was only like five or six stores that actually gave him the information.
Extrapolated the numbers.
Yeah, to just to get an idea of where the books, you know, because we gave them in percentage to Justice League how we ordered the other 40 or 51 books.
Couldn't he just ask Diamond for that?
No, Diamond won't give that information.
How's the Comic Beat get it?
ICV2 somehow. They put out a percentage thing, but it's normally like 2 months later. Okay. So he was just trying to get something ahead of time.
Rich Johnson trying to get the scoop?
He was.
And putting rumors out? No.
He's not a rumor. He was just running numbers. But Stormwatch was a little lower, and I was reading the comments, and people were going, oh, you know, why aren't they ordering Stormwatch? Da, da, da. And I'm sitting here going, and I want to comment, but I've learned my lesson not to comment. But I'm going, you know, the last Authority series, I sold two copies of each issue. Last Stormwatch, I sold one. Abnett and Lanning.
Wrote the last Authority?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay, and I sold two copies of each issue. So based on, you know, a lot of people are looking at what they like and not looking at, you know, we're looking at sales projections. Or, you know, we're looking at sales numbers. They were bemoaning the fact that I think on the list that we did, Legion was like second from the bottom. And I'm like, well, I have my Legion numbers. I know what Legion has done. You know, it just relaunched 16, 17 months ago, so I know how it's selling.
Which one? Relaunched twice in the past 2 years.
Yeah, well,
technically
yeah.
Adventure and then Legion.
But it's like, so I've seen how two Legion books
and
sell.
Rebels.
Why would I order huge above that? And then they were saying, well, gosh, why is Legion Lost sell more? I'm like, because it's different. Yeah. Well, but it's also set in our universe. It's not the confusing 3,000 years. If you don't know the name of every... You don't know their powers and stuff. So
you get the cool Legion characters without all the baggage that goes with Legion.
Yeah. Now, see, I think that would be Ryan's ultimate book, would be the Legion written
by
Morrison.
Oh, my God.
You know what? I would try it, but all the Legion stuff I've read so far, my favorite was still Geoff Johns' Superman and the Legion of Superheroes. Because
that was good.
Even though it was in the future, it was simple. And I started reading the reboot Legion stuff. I was just like, and I understand, Paul Levitz wrote the original stuff, so they wanted to get him back on. And it wasn't badly written, I was just like, I don't know, I don't have any history with these characters, and he's still writing with that love for the characters that he had then, which is good, but I wasn't there. I was in preschool, probably, when he was writing.
Yeah, I'm excited for Legion Lost. I picked up the hardcover, came out a couple months ago. Haven't read it yet, but I picked it up.
I do love the characters. I think they're cool, and I'm hoping this reboot is something that I can get
into Legion. I just... Yep. Legion and Rebels are two of the books that, like...
I thought Rebels was cool. I mean, I didn't stick with it, but I thought
it felt... The reason I joked about Morrison is it felt like Morrison X-Men, where they have to introduce every character the first time it appears in an issue, like...
Well, John started that with the Legion and Superman and Legion Superheroes. There always this little bubble.
Yeah, but that was nice, easy,
that was
quick.
Cool. Yeah, that's
But that's they still do that in Legion.
But I think because it was so successful in his Legion book with Superman.
Well, because there's like 8,000 characters.
Yeah, you kind of have to do that with Legion.
But that's the thing, though, is I think when you get, like, with Superman and Legion of Superheroes, he had like 10 max Legionnaires with him. And then once you get in the Legion book, there's 30 Legionnaires on a page, and then all these tiny little bubbles that I'm like, okay, this guy has these powers. But this guy also has powers that are kind of similar, so why are they both on the team?
You know what really killed Legion for me was that Final Crisis tie-in. I don't even remember what it was.
Never read it.
It was John's.
It was like 3 months or like 8 months late or something for the last two issues.
George Perez takes forever to draw.
Anyway, he's going to be writing.
What are you doing?
No, I know. He's writing Superman.
Where are you going?
And he's doing layouts for Superman as well.
We're so off track here.
Justice League and Flashpoint. Woo.
Yeah, no, but one other thing I want to, just about this Bleeding Cool thing, everybody go check out it at work. One of the other things in the comments is they were bemoaning how the lower half, and they're like, oh, these are all the ones I'm going to get, all these books. And they said, these are the ones I'm buying, and these, and then they'd have, you know, name all the biggies. These are the ones I pre-ordered, and then the list of all the others saying, these are the ones I'm thinking about trying. And I'm going, but see, if that's the stores are going, we have to look at you guys to figure out our numbers. And if you will order those, but you want to try these, well, we have to balance. Justice League Dark looks great, but if only 10 people want it, I'm not going to order 75 because I think it looks neat. So it's just very interesting.
It does look cool, though.
Oh, it does, but I'm just saying, these people complaining that these books weren't ordered better when they wouldn't commit to it either to order it from their store. I just found it very...
And how many of them are just going to download illegal copies of it and complain about it anyway?
Yeah. So, I think we're good.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Anybody else?
one real quick question.
Sure.
No.
With the awesome sale that Colin provided tonight, what was the best DC thing you picked up that you're excited to read? I got DC Secret Society of Supervillains from Matt.
That I was nice enough to give away. Jew Gangster is the one I'm the most excited about. I've been waiting to pick that up for a while.
Joe Kubert.
That's a Joe Kubert book, yeah, not just something derogatory. Remember what? Because I, you know, when I ordered it, you know, clearly it's Joe Kubert, you know, Vertigo, I think it was. And it's like, oh, no problem. And then when I see it on the invoice, I'm like, Jew Gangster, what the? What do you get?
Kevin Smith, Wyvern's Ire.
There you go.
That'll be a great read all in one sitting.
Yes. Yeah. I didn't get anything.
I got a hawk statue that doesn't look like Rob Liefeld drew it.
Okay. I'll help you with that. We'll fix it.
Adam?
What are you going
to do? That was so long ago, man.
I just took a nap. I got... Red Sun, because that's what everybody kind of told me I wanted. I needed something.
Go home and read it right now. Yeah,
so I wanted to go. I might do that. No, I'm not ready to go to that.
It was very. I was I was totally surprised by that.
You know, I think Batman in that book is actually better than Superman.
Yeah,
the Batman character in Red Sun is awesome. Yeah.
The whole book is fun.
Oh, it's a good book. Yeah, I had two categories of stuff that I got: stuff that I knew I was going to get, and stuff that I've never read that I'm really excited about. And I'm like branching out. So the stuff that I knew I was going to like was Grant Morrison's Flash run, because even though it was only like 9 issues, it was still really cool, and I'm excited to.
You haven't read it?
I think I probably read it before at some point, and then now I'm just getting it now. I borrowed it from one of my buddies, and the other stuff that I got
was that you weren't expecting. You're branching out.
Yeah,
that full run of Tarot. I'm really. I think you're going to like.
You did not really buy that.
No. I did not. I bought 2 volumes of Kurt Busiek's Astro City because.
Okay. I think I'm out of the first one. Sadly, I'm waiting just a new print. Yeah. It's coming.
But yeah, I've heard only good things about it, and I like Kurt Busiek, so I'm going to jump into that.
There you go. Sean, you bought a lot today. What do you?
I'm actually anxious for everything I got, and. Got some Batman trades.
Yeah, you got the Batman Fugitive stuff.
Yeah, I got the Batman Fugitive stuff.
That's good.
Got an Aquaman.
That's what I was waiting for you to know. That was my stupid
was that
grin
that classic
for.
Aquaman?
The death
of a Prince.
I've been pushing that on everybody, man.
actually picked up a Superman trade today.
Woo! Which one?
I got him to pick up
and away.
Oh, that was good.
And the first 2 volumes, it was Transmetropolitan and...
Little Ellis to round things out.
The Nobody.
Okay, Lemire. Yeah.
Looking forward to reading them all, and just on the podcast, so everybody knows.
He bought DC!
Yes. I would like to thank Jeremy, Adam, and Ryan for helping me choose my selections tonight.
No problem, buddy.
So if they're bad, you know who to blame.
Yeah.
If they're good, we're geniuses.
Just for the record, Jeremy and I both recommended Black Panther that he likes, so we're batting 1,000 right now.
Just real quickly before we end this podcast, since I haven't got to talk to you about it before this, a couple podcasts ago, Jeremy and Matt recommended Black Panther to me. I picked up the first trade, and I must say, other than Luke Cage in it, his voice being slightly off, the book is great.
Cool.
It's exactly the type of book I like. It's very down to earth. It's very very. How do I want to say it?
Street level,
grounded type of character.
I also got 4 trades of Madame Xanadu tonight to read up before Justice League Dark.
I did have to laugh slightly at Black Panther, though, at one point of it, because when he is talking to the police, it was very, very Batman-like.
Here's, if are we all done talking about...
No, Jeremy didn't talk yet.
I'm sorry.
I got Secret Society of Super.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
Random thought I had while I was reading Flashpoint 5, and from reading all this stuff together, I like the DC animated movies, and I think Flashpoint would be a really sweet DC animated film if they incorporated some of the miniseries, at least the main ones.
Yeah.
And DC, if you're listening, please just take my idea, because you could use a Flashpoint movie to reboot your DC animated line. And just start making new DC animated movies that aren't based on comics as blueprints. Like, instead of making animated Batman Year One or animated something else, you could just start doing original
animated stuff without having to have a TV series.
See, I think they should make it a live action movie so we can pretend the Green Lantern film never happened.
This is true.
I actually agree with you, 100% on that.
I just, the way we were saying earlier how, you know.
Oh my god, Sean. What?
That just occurred to me.
It's 2 a.m. It's because of
the
time.
I'm going to say the shot to the Nads may have loosened them up.
You were saying earlier, you know, they actually sat down and thought about, you know, how are all these stories and these miniseries going to come together? And reading through, you know, Aquaman, Lois Lane, Superman, and Wonder Woman with the Flashpoint main issues, you see different scenes repeated, but you can tell it's not just like, oh, and then I'm going to have a scene where these two talk, and it's like two completely separate scenes. You see the same scene from different perspectives, and I think reading it that way, or if they were to make an animated version, you know, condensing it to give you everybody's perspective makes Flashpoint that
I still
much
think you'd future. Have to do it like a two-part movie. Like, you'd have to have like a Flashpoint Part 1 and a Flashpoint Part 2. If you're gonna, I mean, if you're gonna establish some of the characters like they did with Batman,
do an HBO miniseries.
Yeah, you know, they haven't done a Flash movie yet, animated movie. They've done everybody else, I think.
Excuse.
Except they didn't do Wonder Woman. Oh yeah, they did.
Yeah, they did Wonder Woman.
I just got the Wonder Woman.
They did Wonder Woman. Which wasn't bad, but it wasn't bad.
They didn't do the Spectre.
They did a short.
They did a short.
Yeah, that's Wonder,
it was really good.
I wonder.
But
Woman
I mean,
you're
like your core
was
DC.
Woman,
that was Kerry Russell, right?
Yeah. It was very well done.
Well, that was my random thought. It was very random. I apologize.
Thank you. Well, yeah, we can go home now. We'll come up with something to talk about tomorrow. Probably not Flashpoint or Justice League. So that'll be good. We'll have other stuff to talk about. Yeah, I don't know.
Good night.
What book is everybody looking forward to tomorrow? Just wondering. I know what book I'm looking forward to reading.
I don't remember what's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Never mind. I'll edit that out.
I can tell you for me.
X-Force.
Yeah, X-Force for me.
The second issue of or Amazing Spider-Man, the second part of Spider Island.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say
I agree with that. Secret Avengers.
Yeah, the Ellis Secret Avengers. Although, we'll talk about this more tomorrow. How can the Ellis Secret Avengers take place outside of Fear itself right now? That's one thing I don't like about Marvel. They have their big, they have their big event, but here's an Avengers book that's taking place within it.
Marvel structure.
I get just went question. All Italian.
It's like
that's a great question for Nick Spencer.
We'll call up Nick tomorrow, or at least talk to Nick tomorrow. Okay, we'll talk to you tomorrow. We're getting a little punchy. It's it's exactly 2 a.m. Now we know when we should stop talking.
Yeah.
Thanks. Bye. Good night, all.